This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello! You're listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio with me, Deb Wolf. And I have so many things to talk with you about today. I made a big list, and usually I just need 5 items or less to fill a whole radio show, and I have a whole page. So we're going to have a packed show today. One thing I noticed was I had a customer come to Camp Kid Dog the other day, and they were calling me to book, and they said, you know, I want a book, News of the Days, I'm going on a trip. And I said, okay, what kind of dog do you have? And he goes, you're not going to like this. And I said, why not? And he said, well, I don't even know if I, well, I can say it on the air. He said, because my dog is a shih tzu. And I said, what? He said, it's a shih tzu poodle. And I said, well, why don't you call it a zoodle? It's because no one knows what it is then. So I have to call it a poo shit or a shih tzu for people to know that it's a shih tzu cross poodle. And he said, but every time I say what it is, people laugh. So it's funny. And yeah, that's a funny little dog. I bet it's got a squished in face. It hasn't come here yet. So I booked it in, but I'll try and take a picture of it when it comes and see if I can post it on Facebook because I'm curious to see what a shih tzu looks like. Okay. So I also met a dog recently, a puppy, and the people were so delighted to show me the new puppy. They have this 5-year-old or so toy poodle that's very sweet, very spoiled. The lady likes to brag that there's no rules in her house and the dog gets to sit at the table. So extremely spoiled. But now they have a new puppy. It's some kind of doodle, but a small one. And right away I noticed it's got a blue eye. And sometimes people think, oh, I'll get the puppy with the blue eye. But if it's not a breed that's supposed to have blue eyes, oftentimes one blue eye is indicative of a problem, like deafness or blindness. And so I asked them a few questions. Was she bumping into things a lot in the beginning? Oh, yeah, she was bumping into things all the time. Okay. It starts snapping and it doesn't seem like she's reacting on one side. So I said, I think you got to ask your vet when you go for your next vaccine about blindness and deafness on this side. Now, does it matter? Probably not. This dog isn't a seeing eye dog. This dog isn't a hunting dog. This is a total pampered pet. So does it matter? No. But would you like to know? Probably. Because this dog is a little more prone to maybe getting into collisions, perhaps with a bicycle or a kid or even a car. If it's blind on one side completely, it has to learn to look. And it already probably has to some degree if it's not bumping into things anymore. But there's some things you want to know about. And if your dog is hearing impaired, there's a lot you can do. So much. Dogs track scent. And they can be trained with just a long leash and some quick little toggles on the leash every time you want their attention to look at you to receive hand signals. There's so much you can do, but you need to know. So I would suggest these people find that out. Well, we're going to go to a break and come back. And I've got so much to talk today. I don't know what to cover first. I was going to talk about aging cats and dogs and a couple of things to do to care for them. But I think I'll just say quickly. When your cats get older, they don't groom their own toenails anymore. So that's one of the critical things. I have a whole list of things to worry about with aging cats and aging dogs, but that's the one I find most troublesome. People don't clip their cat's toenails, probably because they never got them used to it when they were young. And now the cat's 10 or 11 or 12, and it maybe even stops using the litter box or maybe starts scratching the heck out of things or does something destructive because it's trying to get rid of those nails. And it can cause a lot of pain and problems. So trim those nails, get your cat used to it when it's young, if you can. And I would just do one nail and then pet, 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 cuddle, 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 do another nail, pet, 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 cuddle, cuddle, cuddle. So the cat doesn't even care. Most cats will tolerate it pretty well. And so will dogs. It's kind of a test to your relationship if they tolerate it or not. A dog that needs to be sedated to have his nails done. There's something going wrong with that relationship. That's what I got to say. All right, stay tuned. We're going to go to break and come back and talk about how to stop your cats from waking you up for breakfast. Seriously, waking you up for breakfast. Yes. Well, I've had this conversation in my own home lately about not giving into the cats. And just because they act like they're hungry, don't feed them, because then that will be the new habit. If they get used to waking you up for food, That's what's going to happen, people. All right, stay tuned. Let's talk about it on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. This is Deborah Wolf, host of Animal Party on Pet Life Radio. You know the expression, cats have 9 lives? Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations, too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, you're back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. You're listening to me, Deb Wolf. And of course, if a cat wakes you up, sits on your head, meows incessantly, scratches at you, takes the covers off you, or like Carol Burnett said in an interview, her cat throws the phone receiver off the phone. She must have a landline. And then the blinking light tells her the cat wants to be fed. Cats can be very clever at this. So if you're sleeping and your cat always wakes you up at 5:30 in the morning, like one of our emails said, and then this person gets up, feeds the cats, and goes back to bed every single morning. Now, he's tried to alter the dinner time, making it later, thinking maybe that would make the cats hungry later on in the day. It's not hunger that's making them wake the human to feed them. It's habit. It's just they know the time of day. They look at the light and the dawn and the birds outside, and everything about nature tells them exactly what time it is. Even after a time change, they know what time it is. And the goings of the other neighbors, I mean, they're very clued into this. So they can figure out what time it is. So all you got to do is teach them that breakfast time is no longer 5:30, but actually whatever time it is you want to get up, say it's 7. So how do you do that? Okay, so the first day there's meow, meow, and cat on your head and all kinds of, it's not going to be nice the first day. Get up like you always do. They'll follow you out. They'll be all excited. They'll think it's breakfast. Shut your bedroom door. Go back to bed. That's what you do. Do that for as long as it takes till they stop waking you up. And at the appointed time that you want, say you have an alarm that goes off or some other signal that you've chosen, not the cat alarm, make that the signal. Your alarm goes off. Maybe you brush your teeth. I mean, you're not their slave, right? Maybe you go to the washroom yourself, wash your face, get dressed, whatever it is you want to do. Set that up as the new habit and then go feed them. You do that for a week and they will have a new habit. You'll be getting up at your wake time and they'll be eating breakfast when you say. It'll be a new time. It'll still be a routine and they'll still be pretty determined. And if you oversleep that time, they will probably wake you because they've gotten the habit of signaling you when it's time, but you can set a new time. Okay, so that's one cat topic I wanted to get out of the way. I've got one more cat topic. And then we're going to go to break and take an email. Somebody asked me, we're going to come back from the break. Somebody asked me, can dogs fish? Okay, so I think they mean, can dogs catch fish? And the answer is yes. And I'm going to tell you about that after the break. But one more cat thing. So when you're in a house with lots of people, you really have to be specific. Because a cat is a 10 to 15 pound animal, ideally, maybe 8 pounds even. And if it overeats for more than a few times, it'll look like a snake that swallowed a frog. It'll have a huge belly and a huge lump of fat, and it's really, really hard to slim them down, especially if they're indoor-outdoor cats and they can find their own mice and other things to supplement their diet. Getting them thin again is near impossible. So it's a lot, well, it's not near impossible. You could do it, but you have to make them really active and you have to change the food and you have to regulate the food and probably measure it. And if you have a multi-cat house and some are thin and some are fat, it gets tricky. So it's way easier to just measure the food to start with. And I find the cat foods and the dog foods labels are misleading. They tell you the maximum amount, really. Like if I had a sled dog, That is what I would feed him. That when it says 4 to 8 cups a day, blah, 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 blah. I would feed him 8 cups a day, if I had a sled dog or a dog doing obedience or agility, you know, leading up to the when they're practicing and training and they're burning all kinds of calories, police dog. But if you got a guy who sits around all day hanging out, lying on the couch, once in a while goes for a little saunter around the block with you, maybe fetches a ball 3 or 4 times in a day, and that's it. Or even a dog who goes to the dog park and runs for 20 minutes and then has another walk or two in the day, which is ideal for most dogs. That's not a working dog diet. That dog, if it's a 60-pound dog, it's probably going to need 3 cups a day, depending on the food and the dog. If it's a 40-pound dog, it's probably going to need 2 cups a day. And as you go smaller, less food. So try not to let the labels influence you too much. You need to be in touch with your vet and asking, is my dog overweight? Is my dog underweight? Is this a good weight? Same with the cats. Now, there's a really easy way to tell. I'm going to go through this right now. With cats, you look from above and you look at the shape of the cat. Now, most veterinary clinics have a poster describing this right in their lobby. But when you look from above, the body of the cat, you shouldn't see any bones or ribs, and you shouldn't also see any bulges or fat. It should be a pretty streamlined silhouette. So that's how you tell with cats. With dogs, yeah, with dogs, it's so easy to tell. You look, you use your eyes. And if you're so used to your dog because you see him every day and you don't see how fat he is, you need another opinion. Because when you run your hands along your dog's sides, so have your dog stand in position and you're facing him, crouch down so you're the same height as him, and take both your hands, right and left, and start at his shoulders and run them back to the back of his body. And if you don't feel anything, if they just slide over nicely, but your dog doesn't look at all fat, there's no hanging belly, there's no lumps, that's perfect. If your hands feel like they're going over the rings of a banister, clunk, 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 or the bars of a cage, clunk, clunk, as you do this, your dog is too thin, unless it's a Whippet or a Greyhound or a breed that's built that way. And you'll know if you have that kind of breed. Borzoi, there's certain breeds. Most breeds, our setters included, you should not be feeling their ribs. They're too thin if you do. So I've seen both extremes with the customers who come here. Some people feed their dogs way too much and really don't even recognize how fat their dogs are. I've had Bassets whose bellies drag on the ground. And then there's the other people who want their dogs to be super lean like themselves, and they're not feeding enough. So it's really hard if you see your dog or cat every day to be able to tell. So get a second opinion and get consensus. Use measuring cups if more than one person is feeding animals, because it's really, really easy to overfeed or underfeed. All right, we're going to go to a break and come back with the big question. Can dogs fish? Yes, they can. And I'm going to tell you about a couple. Two dogs, two different breeds. Stay tuned on Animal Party Pet Life Radio.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello. We're back. An animal party on Pet Life Radio. Can dogs fish is the question from someone in Haida Gwaii. Haida Gwaii. That's, well, no wonder you're asking that. That's the best fishing in the world. Where's Haida Gwaii? Used to be called the Queen Charlotte Islands. It's the northern part of the waters around Vancouver Island, which is a big island, sort of like the San Juan Islands are to Seattle. It's a big, big island where Victoria is at the southern tip or one of the tips. And up near the north is Tofino, but way north of that is a whole bunch of islands. And that's where this person's writing from. And the best fishing in the world, probably. So, okay, can dogs fish? Well, yes, they can. I've seen two dogs fish, and neither was taught to fish. I reported this back to the owners, and they were completely surprised and pleased. So the first one was a Jack Russell, and his name was Eddie. And he was here at camp boarding, and I had stocked my little pond with some goldfish. You know, my kids were little at the time. This is years and years ago. And they used to every spring put a few goldfish in, colorful fish, and watch them grow. And eventually the great blue herons would take them or something. And they'd sort of disappear over the years. But we would let these fish be in our little pond, the dog swim pond. So one day Eddie's in the pond and he's swimming around. He would love to swim. Very hyper little, lovely Jack Russell, perfect personality for a Jack Russell. Quiet, well-behaved, eager to go, always friendly, lovely. He's why people get Jack Russells. He's like that dog on Fraser. Anyway, so he was doing just great, and he's swimming around, and all of a sudden I thought, oh no, is he having a seizure? Because he starts to twitch and contort himself, and his whole body is like twisting, and he's acting so strange. And then I don't see his head disappears under the water, and I think, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to go in for this dog. I hope I can grab him out of there. Like, I'm just starting to really worry. I drop all my leashes and my gear and I take my shoes off. I'm ready to go in the water. And then I see he pulls his head up out of the water and he's got a fish that's about 2/3 his size in his mouth. And he's basically eating it. He caught it and he ate it. And he swam out, looked at me like, what's the fuss? Yum, yum. It was amazing. I wish I'd had a camera. You know, it was before the days of cell phones, so I couldn't take a picture, but it was an amazing show. And I could see how a dog that's meant to catch rats would be swimming along in the water and feel the movement and just go for it. And maybe he was fed salmon in his life or some other fish. Maybe he knew the taste, or maybe it was just natural for him to just bite down and say, yeah, sushi. Sushi for me. Okay, so another example I had was kind of similar. And it was way back in those days, because I remember I used to take dogs outside of the fences. Some of the best trained dogs that I had boarding, I would let them swim in the river. I don't do that anymore because I just like a calmer life now. So everybody stays within the fences of the 5 acres of Camp Good Dog and plays in the pond in the fields. But back then I used to take a few good dogs out on adventures to the river and beyond, in the forest beyond on my property. And I took this Springer Spaniel with me. Her name was Lucy. And she had a deaf partner, Angus, who became deaf from gunshots. The two of them were hunting dogs. And they were awesome dogs. She was a brown and white, liver-colored Springer Spaniel. He was black and white and bigger than her. And he was basically retired, just sort of kind of like a houseplant, more or less. But super lovey, super friendly. And she was nonstop. She would spend her entire time at my place searching for lost balls, finding things, busy, trying to flush out things, always working. And you could see her doing patterns she'd been taught. It was really interesting to watch her. So one day I took her with me with some of my own dogs, and we went for a hike, and she goes plunging into the river, and I'm like, okay, she wants to go for a swim, no big deal. Comes out with a salmon, and I mean a salmon. This one was so big, she was holding it in her mouth, and it's about 4 inches of it were dragging on the ground because it was kind of between her front legs and under her chest. And I mean, the kind of salmon you take a picture with for Plenty of Fish, you know? It was a trophy salmon. And the look on her face, because they're spawning, and you're not allowed to take them when they're spawning. So she pulled the salmon out of the water, and you might think, oh, they're spawning, that would be easy. No. They're like solid muscle and slippery, and they fight like mad, and they're so strong they can swim up current. So it's really, if you've ever tried to hold one, it's really hard. Anyway, she caught it. She held it. This is a duck trained dog, so she's used to a squirming duck. She caught it, grabbed it, brought it out. And then she had to watch. I tied her up to a tree, and she had to watch as I took this giant salmon, carried it back to the river, and put it back in the water and let it swim away to go make more salmon. And she had a total conniption. I think she thought I went crazy. Why are you putting the food back in the water? I hunted that. I caught it. I grabbed it for you, hunter lady. Why aren't you keeping it? So that's what happened with Lucy the Spaniel. So your question, can dogs fish? Absolutely, they can. And if a dog watches you fishing, it'll eventually want to participate. Now, that kind of reminds me of one more story. When I was a kid, maybe 7 years old, I was staying at my uncle's cottage with my family, and we weren't allowed, up until a certain age, we weren't allowed to go to fishing or the dock or swimming until by ourselves, right? Because you had to cross a road and there's water, right? When you're a little kid, you're not allowed. You have to have a grown-up. So it was the first time I was allowed to go to the dock by myself. I was a really good swimmer. My parents weren't worried about that, but I was going to go fishing and I had my fishing rod and I had my little container of worms that I dug up. And of course, I had my trusty dog, Baron, my standard poodle. And I took him with me. And he was sitting on the boathouse dock right beside me. And I was casting and doing it and doing it and doing it. And I wasn't catching anything. And then all of a sudden, I caught a sunfish, little one, little tiny thing, probably the kind you'd throw back if I'd had the chance. I pulled it out and I said, look, Baron, we caught a fish. And he went to bite the fish. He thought, yes, you've caught a fish. I'm going to eat that. And he clamped his jaws around the fish. The fish got knocked off the hook back into the water. And the hook implanted in Baron's fleshy, lovely poodle mouth. Yeah. So I start crying. I'm only 7 or 8. I start crying and I walk Baron back to see my parents, wake them up and tell them, you know, what's wrong. But I'm actually holding the fishing rod and he's on the other line. He's hooked to it as we walk back to the cottage. So things can go wrong. When you're teaching a dog to fish or letting a dog fish with you, you should have him secured at a distance from where the hooks are flying, especially if you're casting, especially if you're pulling up interesting, putting in interesting bait or pulling up interesting fish. The dog is not going to understand that there's a hook there. And, you know, we had to find a vet that was open in cottage country. It was a very simple thing, but he had to sort of push it in and cut the barbs and then pull it out. Same dog had something similar happen with a porcupine. He was quite the dog. Sometimes people think poodles are show dogs and foo-foo, but they were actually hunting dogs originally. So he tried to catch a Canada goose. He tried to catch a porcupine. He tried to catch the fish. Standard poodles used to be cold water hunting dogs. And if you look at that Duck Dynasty, there's an old episode where Uncle Cy buys a red standard poodle and it out hunts all the other dogs. My favorite episode ever. So yes, dogs can fish. That's your answer, but be really careful teaching them. A while back, I told you about my cat doors and how I'd got this kind off Amazon that has the open and close feature for both in and out. So you can make it so your cats are locked in the house at night, allowed to come and go when you want. Say you're cleaning the floors and you want to lock them out for 10 minutes, you can do that too. All that was working brilliantly for about a month. And now it seems my cats have figured out how to do something with it. Every time I go check the cat doors, they're not the way I had set them before. So they're fiddling around with them and flicking the switch and taking the door with their foot and sneaking under it when it's in the locked position. They are outsmarting the cat door. So anybody out there who's a total dog lover who thinks cats are stupid, they're not stupid. They are extremely smart. Perhaps smarter than most dogs. They do learn tricks faster. Well, those that want to. Most cats are pretty tuned out. They're used to ignoring us. And they're used to thinking that humans don't really have much to say. And they meow at us like we're infants. So most cats underestimate humans and really don't bother with us that much, except for the things they need. But you can teach your cat to do a lot. And if you pick a keen cat, a cat who's really playful and interested in toys and reactive and excited and interested in praise and interested in cuddles, if you pick a cat like that, you can go a long way with them. All right, everybody, we've run out of time today, and I still have a huge list of topics to cover. So I'll be back next week. Until then, from me and Pet Life Radio, Dub Wolf, Camp Good Dub, be good to your animals.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.